What can you do as a young man to make money? Oh brother, haram. Why are you thinking about money? You guys now, it's all about money, selling the deen, you know, just scholars for dollars and this and that. Actually, that is incorrect. And I'll give you two reasons why that's incorrect. Number one, in many hadith, the Prophet ﷺ requested financial contribution for his endeavors, for his da'wah. And many of the Sahaba jumped in, such as Uthman and Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr and Umar actually were even competing in spending for the sake of Allah. Why were they spending? Because they had it. Why did they have it? Because they knew how to make it. They're tujjar. They're traders. Not traders, but traders. Not traitors. They're traders. So that's the first reason there. Point number two, the strength, for example, that Uthman radiallahu anh brought to the da'wah of the Prophet, for example, when he bought that well, and he did it where one day it's free, and the other time the other person was charging. In the end, he had to sell it. He was very smart, and he gave it for the Muslims. In another case, the Uthman radiallahu anh gave a caravan, or even more, for the da'wah of the Prophet. And the Prophet said, whatever happens from now on, that's it. Uthman doesn't have to worry. It's not that Uthman is going to do whatever, but basically to show how big of a deal that was. So putting, hopefully, to rest haters and people who are trying to have bad intentions or bad feelings or bad thoughts towards people who want to teach others how to make money, let's look at what are some ways that a Muslim man, I'm going to address men here, who are the leaders of the families, who should be the ones who provide, can make money. And number one, let's start with intention. So why do you want to make money? Well, you should be making money, as we've seen, as I just showed you in the evidence that I provided, to support the da'wah, to support the ummah, to support your family. So da'wah, for the sake of Allah, this is great. Can you have the intention to make money, to spend on your family? Because again, some people will have the doubts and say, man, you guys are just living the life and this and that. Of course, extravagance and israf is something that is looked up down in Islam. However, the Prophet ﷺ told us in hadith that the best money you can spend actually is on your family. We can see today that many of the da'is and the sheikhs are disrespected because they do not have financial stability. Don't have to be a rich man, but they do not have financial stability, and they have to ask people for money, they have to fundraise, they have to basically sometimes really lower themselves, and people arrogantly speak to them and even disrespect them when it comes to these things. So, and on the other side, if a sheikh pulls out in a Mercedes or a nice car, even a Toyota Corolla or something, people be like, oh, that sheikh, he's into dunya. So let's balance out and clear these misconceptions, inshallah, so we can benefit, because I believe that the practicing sector of the Muslim Ummah, and I'm going to say it again, the practicing sector of the Muslim Ummah is very financially unstable and loses respect. And not just that, but they cannot themselves sponsor these projects, take care of their families, leads to projects not being done, da'wah not being pushed, and even families breaking apart, because money is important. People say money cannot buy happiness. I don't know who said that. It's not a hadith. But indeed, true rida is in being content with what you have. Now, if that was the case, in the understanding that maybe some people right now watching this might be like saying, aha, see, I caught you. Look again, Gabriel Romani trying to preach things out of his mind, you know, blowing smoke. If that was the case, if that understanding was the case, then basically Abu Bakr and Uthman and Abdurrahman ibn Auf and other of the Sahaba, including Khadija radiallahu anha, would have we could care less about this. So it's not like that. Yes, don't keep it in your heart. Keep it in your pocket. Did money buy something for the Prophet? Well, it bought a lot of dawah. Did money do something for the Prophet? Yes, the Prophet would give money to people, have allegiances with people, give gifts to people, even to incline the hearts towards Islam. And that's why one of the 8 categories of zakah is mu'allaf al-qulub, as we hear from the Quran. Why, if you think about it, if that's the mentality that we're going to go based on, if you think about it, what are you trying to bite people's iman? Oh, this is hypocrisy. No, brother. Because money can lead and help someone or facilitate a path to happiness. It doesn't buy you happiness and is not the ultimate thing to happiness, but it can facilitate and help. For example, if you're sick, can you really be cured by money? Allah is the cure. فَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ. And when I get sick, Allah is the one who heals me. However, what are you going to do? You're going to just sit in the house and not go to the doctor? If you have money, you can go to the best doctor. You can try to take care of yourself, isn't it? And people do. Even the best of Muslims, most practicing, Sheikh so-and-so fulan, will be going to the hospital and will be taking a treatment. Ilaj. Bismillah. This is right hand, sorry. Bismillah. So, have we put to rest all these doubts that yes, it is halal? That yes, money can buy many things? Maybe the ultimate objective is not happiness, but it can help you facilitate towards that. It can ease a lot of things. It can pay for education, for food, for clothes, for different things for your family. It does lift a burden. As a coach and counselor, a lot of problems between couples and in families are due to money. So, again, let me reiterate for the 3rd or 4th time. I'm not saying that this is the final end. This is the final objective. All I'm saying is it is one of the objectives, as we can see from the evidence that I just provided. Type. So what are some of the ways that a young Muslim man can earn? Well, first and foremost, work, obviously. The Prophet said the best barakah, the best work is when you do it with your hand. It's the most halal. It's the most safe. But remember, intention first. Intention, everything is based on intention. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. So after intention, work. Work hard. Yes, you have to work hard. Work smart as well. Not always have to work. Working hard doesn't mean you come home and you're done, you're broken. You can't even talk to your family. You can't even be polite to someone because you're so grumpy. No. But you can work smart. You can use the tools that you have. So work. Get a job. Start building some money. Number 2. You might think that I'm going to say save. No. Spend. What do you mean? I'll tell you what I mean. Spend. Why spend? Why is zakah so important? And why don't you pay zakah if you don't have money that's been sitting around? Sitting on money is not encouraged in Islam. You have to invest your money. You have to spend your money. So let me use the word then. Well, let's talk first about spending. So food, taking care of yourself, clean clothes for your family. Spend. It drives the economy, it creates jobs, it makes the circle go around, it completes the circle. Spend. Let's change the word spend now, number 2, for invest. Because when you're spending, you're investing. But here, let's be more specific. Invest whatever money you're getting from your work. Have the thuluth rule, the third rule. So 1/3 you're paying bills and whatever you have to pay for. 1/3 you invest. And 1/3 you keep for a little bit. You don't sit on it, but keep just in case. You don't want to have empty. All right, so this is the third rule that we can look at. So 1/3 you spend for your bills, for whatever you have to do, just to live. You don't have to go extravagant, especially at the beginning. Things will change according to where you are positioned in your life. Number 2, invest. And I'm going to talk about what to invest in. And number 3, keep some money to always have something for rainy days. If anything goes wrong, you need to have some money. All right. So spend, right? That was point number 2. Next thing, point number 3, what to invest in. what can you invest in? People say, because, right, working all the time, 9 to 5, yes, most people do it. Yes, it's good. Yes, some people need to do it. But there are faster ways sometimes to make money. Let's take a break here. And if you're watching this video so far and you like my content and work, this is a lot of hard work that I put in. It takes time, takes preparation, takes mental capability. So please check out the descriptions and the links in the description and support this work. And if you want to book a session, one of our counselors, one of our coaches, to help you develop yourself, to help you with any problem they have. Again, we have that, mashallah, we have a big team, a great team, alhamdulillah, great experience. Time. Let's move on. What do you invest in? Most important part. Well, depends how much money you're making from your job. So you're taking 1/3, let's say you're making $2,000. All right, $2,000, divide that by 3. 20 divided by 3 is about 6.4 or something, 6.3, let's say. And you're basically taking about $600 something, let's say $700. Let's round that up. $700, you're gonna invest it in something every month. Yes. $700 you keep and $700 you spend. You know, your phone bill, keep your phone bill low. Depends if you're paying rent or what. Don't go extravagant from the beginning. You don't have to have BMW when you're 20 and so on and so forth. So take $700 and invest it. What are you gonna invest in? Well, you can have a pool with other brothers who think like you and look for different opportunities for investments. Now people talk about stock market and all kinds of things. Look, you gotta be careful because a lot of these things are haram. So if you don't know what you're getting yourself into, better not to do it. Ask someone. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask someone. And here what I mean, you have to ask scholarly opinion, Islamic opinion, but you also have to ask expert opinion in the field. Because a lot of times the scholars of Islam will say it's haram, but they don't themselves don't know the actual industry. So you will stop. So I'm not going to talk about what I don't know. I will talk about what I know. And I would say invest in real estate. What do you mean real estate? Yeah, get 3, 4, 5, 6 brothers. Start putting some money, save over 1 year in a pool, and then start pushing, investing in a real estate, small apartment maybe. Yeah, you take the rent from there, you divide it. Don't spend it, don't give dividend. Dividend meaning don't distribute the profit. Keep the money and invest more back into it, and more and more and more. The first five years, you shouldn't be taking any dividend. Keep investing back. So apartments, land, look at different countries. You don't have to be like, oh, it's so expensive in my country. Look it at the wider world. There are so many other opportunities. Look at Turkey, look at Indonesia, look at Malaysia, look at in Europe. There's other countries you can invest in depending on what passport you have. And they're much, much cheaper. And those prices can go up. People don't know how to think outside of the box. They just say, okay, my country's my box, that's it, that's all I can do. No, you can do a lot more, inshallah. So expand your horizon, invest in that. Number two, invest in crypto. Now, wait a second. What are you talking about? I heard this is haram, Sheikh so-and-so said it's haram. Yes, I understand. But also other Sheikh said it's not haram. And I'm not gonna use names now here, but you can do a bit of research to see which sheikhs have told you that it's, have said that it's halal and which have said it's haram. And look at the two lectures and then understand, look at them, compare who has more knowledge, not of the Sharia necessarily, because maybe they're the same or close to each other, but more knowledge of the industry to understand what the problem is. Remember the basic rule in fiqh and usul al-fiqh is that by default, mu'amalat and dealings are halal, okay? By default, those things are allowed. Okay, they're permissible, they're halal. So keep that in mind. But look at who has better understanding of the industry and of the product itself. Because if you don't, if I have this cup and I don't know what it is or what's inside of it properly, fully, how can I tell you the ruling on it? It's not because I don't know and I don't have the tools to for the ruling, is that I don't know the composition or the background of the cup in history. Okay? So you can do that. I'm not gonna tell you, but this is what I'm giving you as an advice to look into it. And because the return on investment is faster than other industries, and it is something I'm speaking of, I leave you with this. Many people, when bank accounts came, credit cards came, vending machines, it's a big fiqh issue in the Shafi method, for example. It is. When these things came, a lot of people are like, it's haram. But the urf and the culture in the end put value to it, and it became part of the transaction, and by default it became halal. All right, there's still some details there, but keep that in mind. Now, problem is that if people don't do their homework, people are just sitting on the fence. I'm not saying to agree with me. What I'm saying is do some homework, so that in the end, when things become more common, and you like be like, man, I wish I would have done this. You say, I did it, and I felt that it was haram, and that's it. I'm happy and satisfied with my decision. Because right now we're still in a very, very early stage. It's still the lower bottom of the curve. When everyone's gonna buy into it, or is gonna get into it, because it's gonna become the, it's gonna be like the thing of the, it's gonna be the thing of the world. It will be. By that time, it's going to be late for you, because it's going to be saturated like many of the other industries that have come into the history of mankind, even in just in the last 50 years. So I hope you take my advice, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you.
Are you tired of all these annoying ads on YouTube? Are you worried that a haram video might pop up? Well, the One Islam TV app is here to solve these problems, inshallah. The One Islam TV app is 100% free of any ads and is safe to browse for your peace of mind. Watch or listen to lectures and lessons while you work, rest, or drive with your device switched off. Watch videos on demand or download videos and watch offline. Watch hundreds of high-quality produced Islamic reminders, Quran learning videos, stories of the prophets, and so much more. 2 to 4 new videos uploaded daily, inshallah. One Islam TV is 100% run and owned by Muslims, which means a small amount you pay for your subscription is a sadaqah jariyah, continuous charity for you, as we use the funds raised to continue producing more beneficial videos and reminders. Inshallah. The One Islam TV app is now available on Apple devices, Apple TV, Android devices, Android TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Roku, so you can watch on most devices and smart TVs. Download now for a free 7-day trial. May Allah reward you for supporting our work.